Amen. Thank you. How great thou art, how great our choir is. Well, I want to invite Sam and Mia and Elijah to come down closer because we're going to have quite a few pictures projected up here, and I want to make sure that they can see. So come on down to the front pew if you can, or close by, so you guys can see. Now, as you listen to the rest of this creation story, please notice the image of God description in verses 26 and 27. Because in that part of this next scripture reading, it reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness.'" And then it goes on to say, "So God created humankind in the image of God, male and female." Now, ancient scripture is inclusive, and that is the point here. The Presbyterian Church USA encourages the use of inclusive images of God and in the reading of scripture and singing of hymns so that all of humankind is included in the faith as we were created to be. And so listen now to some more of the Word of God. "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky.' So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth.' And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind.' And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, she created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.' God said, 'See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw everything that she had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, in honor of Mother's Day, I borrowed a story that was shared in the worship service at our last Presbytery meeting at the San Anselmo Presbyterian Church. So those who were there will recognize this. It's another imaginative perspective on the creation story that helps us remember that our Creator gave us a vital role as stewards of all creation. The health of the creatures and of the whole planet is our responsibility. So let's listen.
When Big Mama made the world, she didn't mess around. There was water everywhere, and Big Mama saw what needed to be done, all right. So she rolled up her sleeves and went to it. Wasn't easy either, with that little baby sitting on her hip. Didn't stop Big Mama, though, not for a minute.
Light,
said Big Mama, and you better believe there was light.
Dark,
said Big Mama, and there was dark, just as big as the light.
You two got work to do. Don't be fooling around.
Then she looked at the light, and she looked at the dark, and she looked at that little baby looking at the light and the dark, smiling and cooing. And Big Mama said,
that's good. That's real good.
That's how the first day went by. Next day, Big Mama looked around.
Can't tell my up from my down,
said Big Mama.
Better have some sky here.
And there it was, one big sky wrapping over everything, soft and blue as a baby's blanket. Wasn't much else yet, but water and light, and dark and sky, all doing what Big Mama wanted them to do. And Big Mama, she was pleased, all right.
That's good.
She
said.
That's
real good.
That's how the second day went by. Next day, Big Mama looked around some more, and she said,
got me some light, got me some dark, but I still can't tell what time of day it is. How am I going to know when it's morning and evening, or time to put the baby down for a nap?
Big Mama wanted to know, all right, and anything Big Mama wants, Big Mama gets. That's just how it goes.
Son,
said Big Mama,
you take care of this day business for me. Moon,
said Big Mama,
you take care of the night.
Big Mama made the stars too, just in case old Moon overslept sometime. Big Mama looked at the sun and the moon and the stars filling up the sky, just in time for the little baby's nap. And Big Mama nodded, and she smiled. Next morning, Big Mama got up with the sun, and she said,
I need a place to put my feet down when they need putting down.
She knew there'd be some foot putting down when the baby of hers got to growing more.
Earth,
said Big Mama,
get over here.
And it did. All one big ball of mud it was. Nothing much to look at. Baby liked it all right, just the way it was. But Big Mama wasn't finished yet.
Need some grass to wiggle my toes in. Some big old shade trees for hanging a hammock. Papayas and oranges and boysenberries for eating on.
That's how it was then. Just like Big Mama said, little baby sucking on a mango, and the grass and trees and fruit all over the place, like somebody tipped over a fruit stand. Big Mama, she looked at all the earth and said,
that's good. That's real good.
And that's how the fourth day went by. Lots of folks would be plenty pleased. But Big Mama didn't quit a job until it was done, and it was done right. Big Mama looked at all the water and earth and trees and sky and sun and moon and stars, and she said,
awful quiet down there. Better have some whales. Better have some birds. Better have some fish.
And that's exactly what happened, all right. Pretty soon, there were more whales and catfish and mockingbirds and crows than a little baby could shake a stick at, which a little baby could do if a little baby wanted to, since Big Mama had already created and made all those trees full of sticks. Big Mama looked at all that action and she said,
"That's good. That's real good."
And that's how the fifth day went by. Big Mama was about ready to be done with it all. Making a world was a lot of work. What with the laundry piling up and the dishes needing doing, she figured she better finish things off in one big bang.
"I need some creepers and crawlers,"
said Big Mama.
"Some runners and jumpers. Some diggers and divers. Everybody else wants to get created. This here's your chance. Hedgehoggers and night crawlers. Raccoons and garter snakes. Rabbits and polar bears."
That's how Big Mama made them all. One big bang. But Big Mama still wasn't done.
"Oh no, I'm lonely," said Big Mama. "Who is going to sit on the front porch and swap stories with me? Not these creepers and crawlers. Not these diggers and divers. They're good, all right, but not one of them can tell a story worth a plug nickel. And all this little baby can say so far is goo goo gaga. I need some folks to keep me company."
Big Mama, she scooped up some of that leftover mud and she pushed and she pulled and she pried, and next thing you know, there were folks everywhere. Big folks, little folks, fat folks, thin folks, all kinds and all shapes of folks. And every one of those folks had a story to swap with Big Mama.
"That's good,"
said Big Mama.
"That's real good."
That's how the sixth day went by, with Big Mama and all those folks sitting on the porch, gabbing while the sun went down. Big Mama was ready for a rest, all right. Ready to bundle up with that little baby of hers in that big blue blanket of the sky. But Big Mama had one more thing to do. She lined up all those folks and said,
"This is a real nice world we got here. And you all better take some good care of it. I'm taking a day off now to rest. But I'll be keeping a close eye on you."
That's what Big Mama said, all right. And you better believe she meant it. Every once in a while, when she's burping the baby, or making cookies, or rocking that little baby to sleep, Big Mama looks down and says,
"Better straighten up down there."
And every so often, Big Mama looks down on this nice little world she made, and she nods, and she smiles, and she says,
"That's good. That's real good."
So, Big Mama, I recently saw this cartoon in the newspaper. I don't know if you saw it last week, but it's like Noah seems to be looking up at Big Mama. And I'm sure she is currently not happy with us humans. We have been divinely ordained to be stewards of the earth. But thanks to reckless, greedy human behavior, we are now responsible for creating a path for extinction for 1 million species of animals, birds, and insects. A recent global study reported by the United Nations found that 1 million species are on the path to extinction. And the results of the study were explained this way. The unprecedented decline in global biodiversity has alarming implications for human health, prosperity, and long-term survival. And a report on NPR said, when a species dies out, we all lose something. We all lose something. The importance of biodiversity can't be overestimated. humble creatures that we might not see as vital in our lives are actually crucial to our existence. Honeybees, that we all know, are irreplaceable pollinators. But did you know that earthworms that aerate the soil with oxygen are number two on the endangered worms list? Frogs love to eat insects that would ravage plants if left unchecked. And a recent study by Yale reports that amphibians, all amphibians, are declining worldwide at an alarming rate. Without keeping a balance in nature, even the tiniest ant can become a destructive monster colony. And when the sparrows and the wrens and the starlings are gone, ants will flourish even more than they do now. Our polluting behavior is eroding the very foundations of economies, livelihoods, food security, health, and the quality of life worldwide. For example, I love penguins, but now 10 out of 18 species of penguins are on the path to extinction, and they think it's irreversible. My grandson will never forgive me if we lose penguins. And we all know polar bears are deeply suffering due to the disappearing sea ice. But Siberian and South China tigers are critically endangered now due to habitat loss from the logging and the overdevelopment in their habitat. The National Wildlife Federation CEO, Colin O'Mara, warns that the United States also has much to lose, especially if biodiversity is viewed as someone else's problem. About one-third of all species right now in the United States are at heightened risk of potential extinction in the next couple of decades. One-third of all species. But O'Mara adds, it is not too late to act. So here is one way that we can work hard to help heal our oceans. Let's watch.
The entire life cycle of plastic is poisonous. Its manufacturing process depends on harmful chemicals, and when released into the environment, it soaks up even more toxins and transports them far and wide, including into our bodies. Plastic can choke the ocean's ability to absorb CO2 from the atmosphere, exacerbating climate change.
Only 10% of the habitat is on the land. The rest of 90% of the habitat's in the ocean, and it's totally unexplored for the most part. Imagining all the jungles, all the deserts, all the savannas, all the Rocky Mountains. The ocean would be 9 times more. And the idea that somehow it could be 50% plastic, 50% fish, in a mere 30 years is horrifying.
The ocean is in peril right now. And if we don't do something that is going to reverse that in the next few years, then it's going to be much more difficult.
But the situation is far from hopeless. Organizations are developing innovative solutions to clean up ocean plastic. Material scientists are turning their attention to new packaging solutions, and consumers are making more informed choices every day.
How can we use our science to influence laws and policymakers?
When you refuse the single-use plastics, it has an effect on your neighborhood, on your local watershed, and the ocean. Now, seeing the UN talking about it, seeing companies rise up and say, we're going zero waste, to see countries make commitment to stop the flow of trash from land to sea, I feel optimistic that we can solve this problem.
Be sure to visit seeker.com/theswim to read daily updates from Ben LeCompte, track his progress in real time.
Big Mama is clearly looking down at us and saying, stop using plastic. And one of the ways you can start is to stop using plastic straws. There's big campaigns going on all around now to switch to metal straws that you can wash and reuse, or no straws at all. besides plastic bottles, of course, I saw that in the Boston Marathon, there was a group handing out water in seaweed bags. And in a couple days' time, the seaweed bags would just automatically decompose if they didn't use them. And so really creative things are happening now. But we all need to join in on those campaigns. Big Mama is clearly saying, better straighten up down there. And on this Mother's Day, I really encourage us to honor our Mother Nature by straightening up as best as we are able, so that all of her creation can have a future, including us. Amen.